Day. Glorious day. That will be. Amen. I want to go to the Lord in prayer this morning, and I want to just say, first of all, it's already been mentioned, I think, before Sunday school, but I want to reiterate and say, first of all, thanks to everyone that made Friday evening possible. Amen. We appreciate it. We had a good time. When I say thanks to everyone who made it possible, somebody might say, well, all I did was come. Amen. Well, by your coming, you made it possible. You made it possible for me to fellowship with you, for us to talk, to sit around, amen, the fire, to eat peanuts together and a hot dog. And we had some good times, some laughs. I'll tell on my wife. She come out there and she said, is that grill ready to cook any of them hot dogs? And I said, it is. And I was busy doing, just getting other things around, you know. And so she goes out there and she opens up two or three packs of them hot dog wings. She puts them on that fire, on that grill. And before she get turn around good and try to get her all her utensils, them things was turning black.
That's all the hot dog ever eaten. Black on one side and cold on the other.
Man. Now, listen, I ate one of them, and I thought it was a mighty good hot dog myself. It was, but in a little bit, they said something about, we need a few more hot dogs cooked, and bam, she said, you can cook them because I ain't. But we had a good time, and here's the good news. We got enough firewood left out there to do it again. But we did have a good time. Appreciate you being here. And also, I want to just remind you of the church website, which is omzbchurch.com. We try to keep it up to date, pretty close, and we do, from time to time, we have some few little minor technical difficulties, is I guess everybody that's dealing with websites, but I know when I'm the webmaster, there's some technical difficulties that definitely going to come that other folks might not experience. But we do try to keep everything up to date, and the sermons are posted there. If you ever, you know, sometimes you hear a sermon, sometimes there's just one, and you just have somebody on your heart and mind that you think could benefit from listening. So that's there. And also, as of now, there is a button, a give button, that you can actually donate online. But just remember that. Remind folks about that. OMZBChurch.com. Amen. We want to pray this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we have. And we ask you to just minister this morning to us, to these needs, these prayer requests, the names that's been called out. We're thankful this morning that, Father, we have a place to go when we have troubles and trials and difficulty beset us. We just ask you to touch and minister this morning. And Father, to speak to hearts and to work, I pray, by your Spirit to touch and to help. Father, to save and to minister in every situation. Father, some needs healing. Father, some need just a physical touch in their bodies. Some, Father, needs to come back to the way. And some, Father, needs salvation. We pray today that you just work on behalf of each one of these and these requests, unspoken requests. You know every need and every name. And we just pray that you touch and have your way in each heart and each life. And Father, as we come this morning, now we ask you to help us as we preach the word, that you would just minister to us. And Father, help us as we look now to your word and have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 11. And if you want to go ahead and find your place in the book of Matthew, we're going to read a couple of verses in Matthew chapter number 14. But I mean, in 2 Samuel chapter number 11, 2 Samuel chapter number 11, and verse number 15, it says, "And he wrote in the letter saying, set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire from him that he may be smitten and die." That's King David that's sending that letter. This is what King David is doing. He's sending that letter that he wants Uriah. Who was Uriah? Well, he was the husband of Bathsheba. And David had committed sin with Bathsheba, and now, I mean, it ain't getting any better, it's just getting worse. And he says, you take Uriah, okay, now, but that's not all. You know who he sent the letter by? He sent it by Uriah. So he knew that he was a faithful man, and that what he was told, that would he do, he would deliver that. There wasn't in any danger of him reading what was inside. And so he said, you set Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle. And he said, you retire from him that he may be smitten. I mean, what would we call that?
Murder.
Murder. David's making sure that Uriah dies. Not for anything that Uriah has done, but because of what David's done. Now then, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, in verse number 3. Matthew chapter 14, in verse number 3. It tells us, for Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. And if you look down at verse 10, it said, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison. Why did he do that? Well, because John had spoke to him about his relationship that he had with Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. And Herodias, she didn't have no use for John. Now then Herod, on the other hand, he actually had put him in prison, but he wasn't planning on killing him. But he made an oath. It was not an oath that should have been made, not an oath that should have been kept. But a lot of other people heard him make this oath. And so when it come time and Herodias' daughter had danced and she went to her mama and said, "Well, what do I ask?" She said, "You ask for the head. That's what I want." And so Herodias, who is by all accounts, and it tells us in Luke chapter 3 and 19, speaks of other evils that Herod, other evils that he had committed. He was an evil, a sinner, a wicked man. He didn't necessarily want to kill John. Why? Well, I mean, he was a little bit afraid of what might happen. He was a little bit afraid of John. He was afraid of the multitude. But he made this oath. And so it says in verse 10, he sent down there to the prison house and he beheaded John in the prison. What would you call that? Murder. Now here's our dilemma this morning. And it's a dilemma that was going on then and it's still a dilemma that goes on today. Because here we have before us this morning, we have a ruler in King David. Now, both of these are rulers, and I'm not talking about our rulers. I'm talking about men and women in general. But these two are both rulers. They're in a certain place, position. You see, the truth is, if David had just been a common man, he probably wouldn't have fell into this sin that he fell into because he wouldn't have been able to make happen what the king could make happen. But we see David, a king. But not only a king, what does the Bible tell us about David? That he was a man that was after God's own heart. By Old Testament standards and terms, you know what we could call David and what we will call David? He was a Christian. He was God's king. I mean, God made a promise to David about the scepter. I mean, it's not going to depart. But what did David do? I mean, we see in the verse we read, he committed murder. Then we look down and we find Herod, who was a ruler, a governor over parts of Palestine anyway, and he did this evil. He had John beheaded, and as we already mentioned in Luke 3 and 19, that wasn't the only thing that he had done, but he had committed other evils. He was an evil man. I mean, he did things to further his cause. And so here's the dilemma. We have a godly man in David, and we have an evil man in Herod, and they find themselves fallen into basically the same sin. The same sin. Well, you know, that just ought not to be. Amen. It ought not to be. But it was, and it is. It happens. It happened to David. It happens even in our time. It's still happening. And here's the thing. We are naive if we think that Christians get exempt from evil behavior and the falling into sin and even into gross sin. I mean, I believe what David did, we could not only call sin, but what we'd say, that's gross sin. To do what David did, how in the world could a Christian do something like that? But you know what? And here's the thing about God. If man was writing a book trying to make things look a certain way, look good, they'd probably left that part out about David. But God didn't. God didn't exclude it. He told everything that they did. He let us know and he let us see just who they were, and he let it for our examples. But see, Christians are not exempt. We're not exempt. If we were, and we won't read all of it, but just in Romans 7, Paul gives us just a little glimpse, and we'll read in Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. And Paul says this, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Now, Paul, in this chapter, he's letting us know that there's a battle that's going on. And I believe that we can see here, maybe give you an example. This is a place where men are casting their anchor. What do we got an anchor for? I like to go fishing, take the anchor. Where are you going to put the anchor? Amen. Well, you find a spot that, boy, you want to stay and you throw the anchor out. Sometimes, you know what happens to us? We find us a spot and instead of throwing the anchor out, we just resituate the anchor and we leave it in the boat. If you drop your anchor in the boat, how much good's it going to do? It's not going to do you much good. If you drop the anchor in the boat, that is, if you depend upon this old flesh and you rely on the flesh, Paul said, because I find I want to, but I'm having a problem. How to perform these things. Dropping the anchor in the boat will not hold me, nor you, nor David, nor Paul, nor anyone else back from sin. It will not. You see, the law is good. Paul speaks of that in Romans chapter 7. The law, there's nothing wrong with the law. The law is good. The law is spiritual. But he said we're carnal. We're flesh. We have a carnal nature. We do. Everybody in the house. We don't lose our carnal nature when God saves us. I mean, there's a day coming when we're going to lose it, but it ain't got here yet. We still have to deal with this old flesh. And that's what David dealt with, and that's what he lost to. God help us. We lose to the flesh. We lose battles to the flesh because we just throw our anchor down in the boat and, amen, we just keep on drifting. Amen, we need to anchor in Jesus. Amen. To stop the drift. To mortify the deeds of this old flesh. But men in the Bible, Christians and non-Christians, we can read they fell into the same gross evil sin. How in the world? I remember, it's been a long time ago. Most of you will probably remember this show, but there used to be a show that came on that was called Candid Camera. And boy, they do all sorts of things, you know, and just put people in situations and stuff. And this just came to my mind because they had a sidewalk. And this sidewalk, you know, went down and there was a board fence that blocked off this one lot. I mean, it was just that one lot just boarded up. 8 foot high board fence. And they'd have them cameras and they'd watch folks, you know, for a couple of days walking by that and just back and forth, back and forth. They just went back and forth walking by that board fence. But long about the third day, there was a knot hole in that board fence about that big. They hung a sign up there on that fence. You know what that sign said? It said, do not look through this hole in this board fence, please. You know what began to happen? I mean, folks would come by and they'd read that sign. And they'd look around. And if they didn't think nobody was watching directly, they'd back up. They'd take them a peek and they'd go on. Now then, this and that happened time and time again. My wife's over there shaking her head at my demonstration. Amen. But they kept looking. I mean, some folks would come and look, but it was just, listen, it was almost like that, you know, they wanted to go on, but they couldn't. They wanted just to keep on walking, but there was a sign that said, don't look through this hole. And something just drew them back to looking through that hole. You know what? That's a pretty good example of what happens to our old flesh. The law tells us, thou shalt not. But boy, when things happen, things just get right. We know what it says. But you know what the old flesh wants to do? It wants to go look through the hole. Let's go see what's on the other side. Let's go try that for a little while. Let's go see how it looks over there. Let's go see how it feels. Everybody says that it feels good to go and to do that. I know God said thou shalt not, but I'm going to just go try it. Do you think for 1 minute that David knew what he was doing was not right? I mean, he knew what, but listen, he knew what God's law said. He was not ignorant to the fact that God said, thou shalt not. But amen, when he looked and he saw and he took, and then one sin called for another, and he tried other ways to cover it up, but it didn't work until he had Uriah killed. And he said, well, I'm just fix this. He tried to get Uriah to come home and to give him a report and go home, and because she was with child. And he was trying to cover all this up, but he couldn't. Boy, ain't that how sin works? Little one today, bigger one tomorrow. Next thing you know, just a little bit bigger, a little bit farther, till we just keep getting on out there, until you know what happens? We get over our head in sin. Now, who is this? This is a Christian we're talking about. Now, then we look at Herod, and amen. Herod, he had some relationship issues that was against the laws of God, and they ran too, but he dove off in them, and he took off, and John rebuked him for it, and Herodias, she didn't like it, and she began, everything she could do was to get rid of John, until, boy, she succeeded, she got rid of John. A believer and an unbeliever, falling into the same kind of sin. So it is today that the problem that we face is in here. It's in our nature. It's our sin nature. And saints and sinners both have a sin nature. We still have to deal with the flesh. And I believe this is why Paul warned us not to depend upon the flesh, but we must depend upon Christ Jesus our Lord. Because the sin nature that is still there within the believer, we'll find that, you know what it'll do? It'll draw us away. You know, every man, when he's tempted, he's drawn away. What draws him away? He's been tempted by something that enticed him or her. And they get drawn away. I've mentioned before about my wife. If y'all ever hear that she got bit by a rattlesnake while she was playing with it, you'll know something's up, because she has absolutely zero. If you can have a negative in that desire, she's somewhere in the negative trillions. Zero. Well, that ain't going to happen. You know, one fellow one time, he would come up to the boat ramp, they come flying up in there to the boat ramp and loading the boat up and getting headed out, and, you know, had the ambulance waiting home, you know, what's the matter? They got bit by a moccasin. Oh, how'd you get bit by a moccasin? We was catching them. That ain't going to be Pam. If she gets bit, it's going to be an accident. He going to have a hard time. But I'm just telling you, the temptation, what happened when men see and they go and we fall into temptation and we go and we give in to this old flesh. So when the godly and the ungodly fall into the same temptation, how can we distinguish? How can we tell the difference? And really, this is what I'm going to preach to you about this morning, is this right here. And I guess if I titled it, it's this, that godly men and women repent. They repent. We said David was a Christian. Herod was an evil and a wicked man. And when both the believer and the unbeliever fall into the same sinful mire and they wallow around in that mire, it gets hard sometimes to distinguish. But you see, the unbeliever, the sinner who falls into there, we're going to say, amen, that he's got a pig nature. We're just going to use that as an example, because what do pigs like to do? They like to go down there and wallow in the mire. Boy, to get in the mud, just lay down. What I'm saying is, it don't bother them. They're at home. But you know what? A sheep falls into that same mess. They may get caught in it and they may wallow around in it, but they got a different nature. And they'll go to bleating and bleating and bleating and looking for some help. that they might get out of this situation to which they have fallen into. See, godly men and women do fall into sin on occasion and sometime into gross sin. Even some of the same sins that the unsaved get caught up in. But the godly man or woman that falls into that sin, they can fall in and they can stay there for a while. I don't know what the timetable might be, but I tell you what they can't do. They can't rest there. Listen, old hog, he can rest. He can just lay in that stuff and wallow around. He can take him a nap and just take it easy. Mud all over him. Boy, it's good. Because he's at home. But the sheep, the Christian, I mean, they may fall and they may have, but they're not at home. It's not a place that they can rest. And they don't rest because they cannot rest in that particular situation. I mean, it may take a while before they repent, but guess what? It's a coming. It's a coming. A child of God, amen, repentance is coming. Because they can find no rest. I'm going to read you a verse about Peter and then we'll come back to David. Matthew chapter number 26 and verse number 75. It says, "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." And he went out and he wept bitterly. Now, the one thing we need to know and distinguish is, and that is real repentance. Real repentance. Some folks, you can say I'm sorry and go on and not mean a word of it. You can just be trying to smooth something over, get out of a situation and say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have absolutely no, you know, don't mean what you say. You know, the prodigal wound up down there in the pig pen and finally went back home. Boy, he'd already decided, I'm going home. You know what kind of heart he had? Broken and contrite. What did he say? He said, I'm going home. I'm going to tell Daddy, I'm not even worthy to be called a son anymore. If you'll just make me as one of your hired servants. He had a heart that was ready to repent. A heart full of contrition. See, real repentance is sorrow or deep contrition for sin. As an offense and a dishonor to God. A violation of God's holy law. And the basis in gratitude toward God who is an infinite benevolent being. And we repent. Peter knew. And in Peter's case, how long did it take? His was immediate. Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. Here's what Peter said. Peter, he's another good example. When Jesus said, here's what's going to happen. But Peter said, and he took his anchor. He picked it up and he chunked it right over in the boat. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you know what? I don't know what everybody else is going to do. Everybody else may run off and leave you and forsake you and forget about you. But Peter said, I'm ready to die. If that's what it takes, I'm ready to die. And see, here's the thing. Peter had something in him that meant every word he said. He loved Jesus and he thought he was ready to die, but he had something he didn't account for. Because Jesus had told him, well, you need to pray, because he said, I know this. Jesus had told him, the spirit is willing, but he said, the flesh is weak. And Jesus told Peter, you're going to deny me before that cock crows. And Peter, he just couldn't see it. He couldn't believe it. But amen, but he had denied Christ three times. And when he had denied Christ three times, amen, this that old rooster went to crowing. And boy, immediately, it hit him like a ton of bricks. Why? Because yes, he had sinned. Yes, he had denied the Lord. But boy, immediately, there was something that was within him that made him leave and go outside the city and find him a place, and he wept bitterly. He repented of those things which he had done. When we look back to David, here's the thing about David, and this happens, this may be the case for others that we've known. It may have been the case for us at times. You see, David had to be kind of sided to his sin. God sent somebody. God sent the prophet down to talk to David. And David heard what he said. And of course, we know the story. David, the little story that was told about the one that had the bunch of sheep, and then this one little man had just one little sheep. It was like a little pet. And when he had somebody that came in, instead of going and getting from his flock, he went down there and stole the one sheep that that man had, the only thing he had. And he killed it and dressed it and gave it to him instead of taking one of his. And boy, David got, he got upset. I mean, so much so that he said, you know what we'll do? I know what we can do with this man. The sin that David committed, you know what it was worthy of? Death. Death. But when the prophet looked at David and he said to David, he said, thou art the man. David, I'm talking about you. You see, for all these months, and we won't read all of it, but we'll read just a little bit of it here in a minute. In Psalms 51, you can go and you can read. David had been living in this condition for a while now. But it tells us in these verses, you know what had happened to the joy of his salvation? It had departed. It was as though it had broken bones. He was in a mess. Now he was still getting up every morning and proceeding through the day and trying to go on like everything was okay. Doing the things that he needed to do. But amen, there was something that was different in his life from the very hour that he committed those sins. It was not the same. Because he was different. He was a Christian. And when the prophet said to him, David, it's you. Thou art the man. David knew he wasn't lying. And then he got right down there where the rubber meets the road. And we read in the book of Psalms in chapter 51, in verse number 1, David, it's his repentance there. The whole psalm is in Psalm 51, but he said in verse 1, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Whose transgressions? Mine. David said, it's me. I'm the one sinned. God, I've sinned against you. It's me. You know what that is? That's a bleating sheep that's fell into a place of sin and old mire. And he's laid there and he's been in it and he's walked around in it long as he wants to. He wants out. He wants out. And he finally gets to the place, and he's like Peter now. Peter's happened immediately. It took David a little longer, but he comes around and he cries out unto God, forgive me. In verse 7, he said, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What should Christians be? Our desire should be to be whiter than snow. See, David suffered in his condition for a number of months. But in Psalms 51, boy, we find David, he made full disclosure. And he was making it to God because he said, I've sinned, who have I sinned against? Well, we might say, well, against Uriah. But David said, no, he said, yes, he done them wrong. But David knew where his sin went to the core. He said, I've sinned against God. That's what I've done. I've sinned against God. And he prayed unto God for God to have mercy upon him. And amen, he called out. Why? Because, amen, he had a nature. And he prayed unto God that God would forgive him of his sin and clean him up. In the book of Revelation, I'll try not to be too much longer, but in Revelation chapter number 3, Revelation chapter number 3, it tells us this. In verse number 19, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Jesus said, I'm standing outside and I'm knocking. He said, those that I love, you know what I do? He said, I chase them. You know what happened to Peter? Jesus had spoke the words. And when he did exactly what Jesus said, even though he didn't think, boy, he would ever get caught in that. And see, that's what we do sometimes as Christians. We look at other people and other things, and we think, boy, you know what? I'm glad I'm a Christian. I won't never get caught in that situation. Be careful. Be careful. Because Peter got caught. He did exactly what he thought he would never, ever do. You know what chasing him? It was when that rooster crowed and he would pull those words of Jesus come back pounding, bringing it home. He went out and he wept. You know what David did? The prophet had to come by and say, David, it's you. But boy, when he did, he'd held in as long as he could. If God will forgive me, if God will have mercy on me, we got to get this right. And he prayed, God, have mercy upon me. Cleanse me. Watch me. Make me whiter than snow. Only God could do that. Only God could wash and make white as snow. Only God could restore that that's been broken and torn apart. What's the difference between the sinner and the Christian who fall into the same sin? Amen. Godly men and women find a place to repent. There is no rest for them in the mires of sin. They may stay there for a while, but amen, God calls, and somewhere they've got to turn their eyes unto Him and ask God, amen, to forgive. Now as we get ready to close, I want to read the account of Herod's repentance. In the book of Matthew, in chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, and I want to begin reading in verse number 45. Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 45. Tell me when you're there. It's Matthew 14 and 45, I'm positive. That's where that repentance is.
Okay.
We don't have any account. There wasn't no repentance. Why? Because he was at home. That ain't exactly what he wanted to do, but boy, when push come to shove and he had to do that, he just went on. That was just life. That's just what we do. There wasn't no place of repentance. He was comfortable. I mean, if he had to live there, so what? Let's just live here and go on. Tomorrow we'll do something different. We'll make the best. We'll go on. It ain't that big a deal. Break God's law. Go against God. And see, when we do things like that, here's what happens to us. The Bible talks about men and our conscience. And what I've heard said, and I hear people talk, you know what? So is this person, this man, this woman. You know, they just don't have no conscience. No. It's not that they don't have a conscience. It might seem to us that they have no conscience. But it also speaks about folks in the Bible, and there's different, our conscience can be affected in different ways. And some of them, the Bible says, their conscience has been seared with a hot iron. And so it's those people that we say, they just ain't got no conscience. Well, in reality now, they've got a conscience that don't work no more. It's been seared. They don't have a conscience anymore. From a standpoint of it affecting how they live and what they do. And listen, Herod, once you do those things and you just keep going on in it, but listen to this. You see, it's not that Christians are perfect and that Christians are not capable of falling into sin. But I want to tell you something this morning. Christians are different. They're different. While we still have a nature of this old flesh and we still have to deal with this old flesh, if we're born again, if we've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, amen, we're different because we also have another nature. In 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse 23 it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. You see, there's something in a Christian that they may fall into sin and even sometimes some gross sin. but better than a miserable soul. Nobody else might not see it. They may wander around for a good long while. But all the time, amen, God's a pulling. And God's a calling. The Word of God, amen, is sharp and powerful. Amen, sharper, the Bible said, than a two-edged sword. Amen, it divides, it cuts down. And that's what it did for David. When the prophet said, David, he said, you are the man. You know why David was so miserable? Because that wasn't his nature. He did it because his old flesh was weak and he yielded to this old flesh. But amen, he had a heart that loved God. Peter sinned, but amen, he had a heart that loved God. Both of them, we find them. They found a place to go get right with God. The godly repent. Now the Herods of the world, they can just continue right on being Herod. And I don't know what your situation is. Amen. If there's anything you need to get right with God, I pray as a Christian, you can do that. But you know what? Here's the good thing about God. We don't have any record of it, any recording of it. But every one of us at one time, you know who we were? We were Herod. We were Herod. We lived and done, and it didn't really bother us. We went from one thing to the other. But amen, but one day, God saved us. And amen, it's made all the difference in the world. If you'll stand with us this morning as we sing, if you have a need, you come while we sing. Mm-hmm.